Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, your local alternative solid state radio.
Sean, why are you smiling so much?
Well, you know, I could tell you that. I think everyone kind of knows what we're starting today. But I'll let Dan Miller set it up for us instead.
2 minutes to go. There's Goff back, looking, throws. It is caught. Amon-Ra St. Brown, first down. That's going to do it. Jared Goff delivers against his former team. Now all they have to do is take a knee three times, and this game will be over. For the second time since 1957, for the first time since January 5th, 1992, these Detroit Lions are going to win a playoff game.
You heard the man. First playoff win since 92.
See, I wish I was listening to that broadcast because I was watching it and I had no clue what was going on. I'm more of a hockey guy than a football guy. I'm like, well, it's 2 minutes to go. Why is everybody congratulating? What's going on here? But then somebody at work pieced it together for me and I said, oh, okay. Kind of not the most special way to win, but I'll take it.
Well, I mean, every game's not going to come down to the last second, man. That's just not how it works sometimes.
It was a one-point margin. but, yeah, I get it. So, good on the Lions. They did it.
They did. Finally, and that's kind of my first thing I want to throw out today. Does this officially mark the end of SOL?
Yes.
Matt Stafford came home. And you beat the brakes off of them. I mean, it was a close game till the end. You were up by 11 points at the half. They started to creep back in, but you shut that down eventually. Goff didn't panic. He didn't throw any picks.
Goff looked good.
Like, you can't ask for more than what you got here. Is this the end of SOL? I think it is.
I think so.
The same old Lions would not have won that game. Stafford would have come in and embarrassed you. And a lot of people kind of expected it. All of the national pundits expected it. Everybody on ESPN, including the guy that used to be quarterback for the Detroit Lions on their panel, picked the Rams to win.
Yep.
Yeah, Orlovsky, look at you, buddy. Well, you have a little faith.
Orlovsky, didn't he back up Stafford?
He did. He backed right up out of the end zone. And had no faith in this team to win. I think all the NBC guys picked LA to win this one.
It was a big LA love fest. That's for sure.
It really was. And the Lions went in and did something that was not at all expected of them. And I think finally excised this whole SOL thing for good.
And a lot of people are digging it. They're getting a lot of looks from around the league. The United States, if they're not really pitching for a certain team, there's a lot of people that are now keeping an eye on the Lions.
There are, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they end up favored in their next matchup. So for those who haven't been following along, the next game will be at Ford Field. You're getting another home game. And it's going to be either against Tampa or Philly, and you're looking at Sunday at 3 for that game. And the winner will be opponent will be determined tonight when the Eagles and the Bucks go up against each other. And I know a lot of people are thinking it's going to be Philly. A lot of people really don't want it to be Philly. Honestly, I would be entirely fine if it ends up being the Eagles.
Philly has not had the best season that they're used to. We talked about this on Friday.
They started off really strong. I think they won their first, 10 in a row? Mm-hmm. And then, because they lost to the Jets pretty early on. I think they started
Yeah,
off.
Say that again for the people in the back. They lost to the Jets.
And this wasn't even with Aaron Rodgers. This was just your garden variety Zach Wilson and company.
Right.
Jets. So they started off their season 10-1 and then proceeded to go 1-5 through December and January.
Yep.
You lost to the Eagles. You lost to the Cowboys. You lost to the Seahawks.
I mean, the Eagles lost to the Eagles.
You lost in overtime. Well, You lost to the Niners. You lost to the Cowboys. Okay. You lost to the Seahawks. You lost to Drew Locke.
Yeah.
The backup for the Seahawks in regulation. You beat the Giants. Everyone beats the Giants. You lost to the Cardinals. And then you lost to the Giants to finish off the season. Like, they made a change in defensive coordinator, brought in an old friend of ours.
Schwartz.
No, Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia.
Schwartz is with Cleveland, and
that's
he's now home.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, they brought in old Matt Patricia, and things have gone downhill for them ever since.
That's another good storyline. So bring on the Eagles.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, you know? I think you can beat the Eagles, especially with the way Matt Patricia is just running that defense into the ground, a defense that surrendered 27 points to the Giants and 35 points to the effing Cardinals.
Yep.
That's the defensive guru I want coaching my team. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Sorry, Bluto. That's not happening today.
I honestly wouldn't be disappointed either way. I mean, I do absolutely think you can beat Tampa. I mean, Tampa, they come in a game over 500 during the regular season, and towards the end of the year, they that game against the Panthers where they won 9-0. The defense clamped down a little bit, but then you have games where, like, they gave up 23 to the Saints. They beat the Pack, the Jags, and the Falcons, and then kind of had a close one against the Panthers to kick off their December. I think you can beat either one of these teams.
I'm trying to find the odds on tonight's game between Philly and the Bucks. I can't find it.
You're looking at Philly's favored by 3.
Gotcha. All right.
And they are playing in Tampa. So Tampa's a 3-point dog at home. But I don't know. If the last few games, last month and a half of the regular season are any indication, Philly might be looking at a first-round exit.
It's looking like it. I mean, we saw some stranger things, didn't we? Didn't we, them boys?
Oh, them boys. And we will get into them boys as well. And that game, because that was hilarious to me.
As fans of the NFC North, you're feeling kind of dirty right now, but it's like, all right. I can live with it.
Right. But I'll go ahead and ask, so who would you rather face in this first round? The 9-8 Bucks or the Eagles that are 1-5 in their last 6?
The Buccaneers. I think in the picks, I picked the Bucks to win tonight. So I would think the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles have been there before. So, you know, there is that. There is the experience. But the fact that they've just been laying an egg the last half of the season or the last third of the season makes me think that, you know, that they're going to be a little easier. Not easier for the Lions.
That's fair. That said, I mean, you asked me the same question after the Thanksgiving game. I mean, for one, I'd tell you we'll be lucky just to get in there.
Yeah.
But also, I would have told you easily the Bucks. Give me the Bucks all day. Now, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
The Bucks have every bit as dangerous of a wide receiver combo and arguably a better one than Philly does. Like, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I think, are better than A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And obviously, I think you can still, I mean, you manage to handle Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Give all the credit there. I think Godwin and Evans represent the tougher matchup for your secondary. And I will say, on the other side of that, Jalen Hurts, we've seen how this team does with mobile QBs. Not well. How we saw they match up against Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson, for that matter. Like, this is a team that has had difficulty, admittedly, scheming against mobile QBs. And Baker Mayfield is very much not that.
No.
Run game's a wash, but the Eagles have a better O-line, arguably. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are basically getting by on Tristan Wirfs, and that's about it. But the Bucs also have a better defense. The Bucs by far actually have the better, by a decent amount, they have a far better defense. Like, they're about middle of the pack, whereas the Eagles right now have the fourth worst defense in the National Football League. And I like those odds a lot. Yeah, bring on Philly. I'm not just saying that because I want my pound of flesh against Matt Patricia here. although that certainly plays into it a little bit. But I'm not going to lie. I think given the ability to make this thing a shootout, I think you can take on the Eagles and win. I do absolutely 110% believe that. Like, this is a team, the defense is not playing where up to its normal standard. We now know Laporta is healthy and absolutely can make plays out there when you need him to. See that touchdown last night. Bring on Philly. I may be the only person in this fan base who actually has that thought in their head, but bring on the Eagles. I don't care who wins this. I like your odds either way. But there would be something incredibly satisfying about going out there and making Matt Patricia look like a fool.
I like the idea.
I have a feeling you would. I know a lot of this fan base probably would, but they're still kind of scared because, I mean, we know what Jalen Hurts is. So throw that out there, and we'll throw it up on the Facebook page, see what you guys think about all that. A few other things I do want to get to regarding this Lions team, and we'll do that. We got plenty of time to do so today. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Rage Against the Machine, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Apparently, they're officially not going to be touring again. I think their drummer came out and said, yeah, we're not touring again. It sounds like issues with the front man, same as it ever was.
Oh,
same
boy.
As it ever was. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We're talking Lions because we have a playoff win for the first time since I was like two. Like, this finally happened. And I did kind of want to bring this up. I thought this was rather interesting. Apparently, people think that Matt Stafford, not a fan of the city of Detroit and the Lions fans. Like, I have a little bit of audio for you.
Yeah.
So, MLive reporter Corey Woods had asked a question of Stafford. As Sean McVay had gotten up, said he was happy for Jared Goff due to their time together, which is weird because McVay did not like Jared Goff at the end.
They did
end
not
of
get
it.
Along. They no, were not friends.
Very much they were not. Let's see. Do I have the full...
McVay was up with Sean McVay.
I do have the whole question, so okay. I'll just let MLive's Corey Woods take it from here.
When Sean McVay was up here, he said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot due to their time together. You've been Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just how do you feel about the city of Detroit? No.
I'm happy for the players. Happy for those guys.
I'm happy for the players. When asked about the city of Detroit and the fans.
Well, he didn't get a very warm reception when he came out of the tunnel. At the start of the game.
Yeah.
A lot of boo birds.
Oh, yeah. He got booed just spectacularly when he came out. And I'm not really surprised.
But, clue me in. I mean, wasn't that a trade?
It was a trade. And depending on who you ask, he asked to be traded.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then, yeah, maybe deserved to be booed a little bit. But, I mean.
No, absolutely. I mean. Look, he gave a lot while he was here, certainly. I mean, he took a lot of injuries and a lot of crap.
Yes,
but also, arguably, he didn't deliver. I don't think anyone's going to argue that he got the job done while he was here.
No.
And, we certainly hate to see him leave without having at least won a playoff game. He also kind of acknowledged that there wasn't the greatest team around him at the time, but it sure seems like guys have won with, similar to what we've had here. Does it fall on him? And
yeah, but Stafford, he did fall right in the middle of that SOL kind of mentality. Because how many coaches did he go through? How many weapons did he have to work with? At some point, there was none. Wasn't he part of the Aaron Ebron debacle?
Well, you also had the greatest wide receiver arguably ever to play the game.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not ever to play the game. Jerry Rice does exist, but...
Yeah, he's still a thing.
But damn high up there. Meanwhile, later on, he did clarify his comments somewhat.
They were chanting Jerry's name, and you were booing the house train, and you were chanting name for him.
I don't know.
Oh, lovely.
Man's memory here. But no, I am.
taking some time to think about this.
Really? Clearly.
He's mincing his words.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. Well, maybe we'll get that audio later if the damn thing will do what I need it to do.
Yeah.
But apparently he had good things to say about Goff and the fans later on. He did say the booing didn't bother him. I had a more direct quote later. But that was still kind of weird to hear that, to see that out of Stafford.
Yeah, I'm happy for the players. Well, I mean, he just got knocked out of the playoffs. He's a competitor. He knows he has to go back to Kelly, so he's not having a good night.
That's true.
Why'd you not let them win?
I mean, you're not wrong about that either.
Sorry, Sugar Bumps. I tried my best.
Well, wasn't good enough.
Let's get out of this town. I hate it.
Hate it here.
Take Mama back to L.A.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she's done.
My head hurts.
She's done herself no favors by continuously popping off about Detroit whenever she gets the opportunity, quite frankly.
Yeah, she is very vocal.
Like, a lot of people didn't like the way Stafford played, but it was hard to not like him as a dude.
Yeah.
But she made it really easy not to like her.
Matt, they're talking about you again on Facebook, on Twitter, X, or whatever it is now. Get over here and stick up for yourself. Sorry, Sugar Bumps. I'm watching Scooby-Doo. I think it's a real monster this time. Hey, he's got a Super Bowl ring. Nobody. I don't think anybody on the current Lions roster has a Super Bowl ring, but
no.
I could be wrong.
No, not to the best of my knowledge. They do not, sir. So, yeah, like, I mean, I guess it just kind of, like, throws me for a loop that he would, because he's normally, when he actually does say things, he's normally good about saying the right things. Just it seemed kind of odd that he went and reacted the way he did, I thought. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Billy Talent, your local alternative Solid State Radio. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I had a feeling right before halftime of that game on Sunday that we were going to have another Dallas situation on our hands.
Yeah.
There was a blatant offsides.
Was that
for
the
Rams.
Start? Was that the false start one?
Yes, it was. Yes, where we got called for a false start, but it actually was an offsides for LA.
Yep.
Like, how? How does this happen? How does this happen to us? Of course this would happen. Like, why should I? I shouldn't be surprised by it, but doesn't make it any less disappointing. Like, really? So instead of being, you know, what would have been a first down and possibly gotten you to a field goal at some point, at least, you turn the ball back over to the Rams and give them an opportunity to score. But also at the end of the day, like I was not happy about that, I will say, and I really thought, honestly and truly, that there was going to be somewhat of an issue here. But then there was another later in the game. What probably should have been a pass interference call, where you had the guy just grabbing all over Puka Nacua's jersey.
Yep.
Like, and we got away with it. Like, oh my God, a call that actually, or no call that went our way. Really? That never happens. No, really, it doesn't. I couldn't believe it. I was rather honestly amazed. Like. And normally that, you know, that's some BS, but considering that we got boned by the refs early in that game and got just a total fake penalty against us, I will take that as a makeup call. Absolutely will.
Yeah. I get the feeling like, you know, maybe I always like to think of the refs as like a big old like fraternity, bunch of college drunkards where they're like in the second half, it's like, all right. First person to blow their whistle has to buy the first round at the bar later.
Oh, you kind of got to wonder sometimes, right?
Yep. They're at the bar. Woo, zebras. Raise a glass. All right, yeah. First down.
Yeah, I have serious questions about that.
Somebody brings a tray full of white claws, and they start just throwing their yellow flags.
Right. I question the officiating so much in these games.
Yeah.
Like if I'm LA, I'd probably be pretty pissed about that.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, with that,
because the guy
game,
damn near had he had the ball damn near in hand, and guys holding him, grabbing the jersey and everything.
Yeah, he was all over him. Took his wallet and everything. But with that Dallas game, like we said, I mean, yes, it is a fast-paced game, but when there's so many officials on that field, they're supposed to be looking at this kind of stuff. How are they missing it?
I don't know. I don't know how they miss this stuff. How the blatant just – it's just astounding to me, like, how obvious calls get so messed up and there's not, like, an overview system of some sort. I don't get that, man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't either. When there's so much riding on these games, they need to have some sort of a backup system. I mean, and I get it. We're seeing it from more of a bird's eye kind of view as opposed to on a level plane. But I mean, this is their job to catch these things, and they're missing big ones, blatant ones.
Yeah, like I feel like we absolutely need to have at some point, you know, Sky Judge. That's what we need.
Sky Judge. I think there's no way around it. I think we need to have Sky Judge.
We absolutely do. I mean, the NHL has Toronto to go to view things and tell you what the right call was. Yep. Like, they can do that. Why can't the NFL?
Exactly. You have, a questionable call. You know, the refs are all conferring, then all of a sudden just all the lights go out in the stadium, strobe lights, and you just, and then, you know, Sky Judge have said that the call is overturned. Sky Judge has spoken. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think that it would make games so much better. And yes, the theatrical entrance and everything. Let's do it. Let's make that happen. Someone, Goodell, get on this, would you?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Blink-182 with Solid State Radio. Pearl Jam at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. And, well, I suppose I have made you wait long enough to talk about this.
All right.
Oh, the Packers.
The Packers.
Or really, more to the point here, how about them boys?
Yeah. Dak Prescott, how's everything going over there, bud? You okay?
Honestly, Mike McCarthy should probably be on watch right now, man, because, like, that guy.
They kept going to – you thought the cutaways to Taylor Swift was bad? Taylor Swift, that was nothing compared to the cutaways to Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah. Like, they were just making jokes all through this thing, like, on social media that Bill Belichick's going to be the new head coach tomorrow.
I could see it. I really could see it.
Could you, though? Like, I don't know.
Jones would be that stupid, yes.
No, no, you're right. Jerry Jones would be that stupid. The would it really actually go well for them? I don't know.
No, it'd be a stopgap before you bring in your next serious coach. But, yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott, 2 interceptions on the night. Not good.
No, not a great game. But Mike McCarthy is getting ready to get fired out of a cannon. I mean, this team under his watch has been one of the best regular season teams in the league. Mm-hmm. But yet, every year, they seem to lose out early in the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, okay, you lost to the Niners, who were basically a contender every year.
That's respectable.
You can respect that, absolutely. But you lost to the Packers, a team that
barely got in.
Yeah, a team that's not even supposed to be here. And you let them come embarrass you at Jerry World. You let them come in and hang out 48 points on you at home when most teams don't ever get anywhere near that. Usually it's the Cowboys putting up at least 40 at home. Instead, they give up almost 50.
They were 27-0 Green Bay until the last 2 seconds of the first half.
It's nuts, man. Like, and the crazy thing is Jordan Love managed to do it only passing the ball 21 times. Well, 21 pass attempts, I should say. He went 16 for 21 on the night, but racked up 3 touchdowns that way.
Yep.
They just absolutely... of course, Aaron Jones had 3 touchdowns. Like, the rushing game really chewed up a decent amount of time on the clock. Jones finished the day with 118 yards. But, like, how can you explain away the continuous collapsing? I mean, it always seems to be coaching. I mean, McCarthy has a Super Bowl ring. Can't take that away from him. But yet at the same time, Packers, year after year outside of that, routinely seem to underperform in the playoffs. It has been that way,
since Rodgers left.
Like, when Rodgers was still there and McCarthy was coaching for them.
Oh, right, okay.
He was, other than the one year that they did win it all with Aaron, they were a team that did not routinely make deep playoff runs and would honestly did not perform up to expectations, and that's basically what it's been here. It's like, you had, and this was when Aaron Rodgers actually was still, when he still had all the weapons that were at his disposal, not like the later years where it's just, okay, here, bring me in whatever hangers on because now I'm just trying to screw with all of you. Before Aaron Rodgers turned into made the complete transformation into supervillain that he is now. This is when he actually still was trying to win games in Green Bay. And you still walked away with only one title and a lot of playoff disappointment apart from that. And of the 10 times you went to the playoffs, you finished with 10 or more wins all but one of those seasons. This wasn't a team that just backed their way in. But then the Packers backed their way in and embarrassed McCarthy now. It's amazing to me. But the Belichick thing just keeps swirling around this now. Is it the right move for America's team? I'm not entirely convinced
on this. Part ways with McCarthy?
Well, parting ways with McCarthy is a given. That needs to happen. But replacing him with Bill Belichick.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's a marquee name. He is the coach of coaches. He has a dynasty. Not just a ring, he has a dynasty. But I don't know. Jones, he would make that desperation call.
He would make the call. I don't know that Belichick would necessarily take the gig.
No.
Because if there's one thing we know about Jared Jones, he likes to be in control. He makes all the calls. He is the de facto general manager of that team. I don't know if they actually officially have a general manager. Jerry just does all the things.
Yeah, Jerry Jones and then a guy they've never met named Gerald Jonestown.
Right. So with that, like, you have a guy who is the you look up, like, meddling sports owners and, like, Jerry Jones's picture is the one that's right there. So you have that, and then you have Bill Belichick, a guy who has basically always had unchecked control over every facet of the Patriots organization. He was his own de facto GM in New England.
Yep.
He made all the calls. Bob Kraft just kind of let him do whatever the hell he wanted to do. Like, here, you go off to the massage parlor, let me run the football team. But that said, I don't see these two being able to coexist because both of them want complete control of the groceries being bought. And I don't think Belichick's willing to relinquish that power in a new gig. And I don't think Jerry Jones is willing to relinquish any power either.
Cue the Odd Couple theme song.
I don't think it can work.
No, I do think Belichick will stay in football in some capacity, but I don't know. He may not want to start off with a different franchise, at least in a head coach capacity. So I don't know.
I think he could be fine with starting over with a new organization. I just don't think he can with this one. Because these guys, I truly believe, have too big of egos to coexist in the same organization.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And there's argument to be made that neither one of them should be in the roles that they're in. Like, should Jones necessarily be GM of this team? I don't think so. Did Belichick kind of prove that he really has no business being the GM of a team at this point in his career? Also, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. I mean, he does have quite a few rings, but point taken.
But the roster,
as of right now, yeah.
But the thing is, the roster you have right now is pretty well constructed, admittedly. Like, you have all of the pieces there, seemingly. It's the coaching that consistently fails you. If you handed Belichick the keys to this roster right now and just had him not screw it up, you could win. You could arguably win. Like, there, you absolutely could see that team with that shutdown. Because Belichick has always had, in New England, pretty stout defenses. Like, that's really where a lot of his magic comes into play. And Dallas has all of the pieces to be an elite defense. I guarantee you a Belichick team is not giving up 48 points to the goddamn Packers. There's no way.
Nope.
Like, could it work if you could get everyone to check their egos at the door? Yeah, maybe. Do I think that either of these guys are capable of doing that? No, so it ain't going
to
happen.
They just don't see it as egos. That's the whole thing. But if that was to become the scenario and they butt heads, Belichick is like, listen, I've won it. I don't know if Jones was owning it when Dallas won, but
oh yeah, well Jerry Jones has owned that team like for well I guess since '89, and he's got since then.
So he's got one ring.
He's got three.
Three.
So he has three rings, but Belichick has six.
Yeah, that's twice as much.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and it was most and it was most recent. So like today's NFL, so to speak. So.
He's won in the relative, you know, the modern era of the NFL, and he's done it repeatedly.
Yep.
And has proven he can do it with, honestly, rosters that were significantly less talented than this one.
Yep.
I mean, let's be honest here. There were some of those years where Brady was basically slinging the ball to scrubs.
Yep.
Like, you might have a star guy. You might have a Randy Moss come in for, like, a year or two to win a ring. But for the most part... Like, they made, between Belichick and Brady, they made these receivers better, and they were never really the same after they left that system and that team. Look at Wes Welker. Like, you had so many guys that really probably don't do what they do anywhere else that made it work there. Given this kind of roster, you could see Belichick winning a title with this.
Sure.
Which is truly why I hope... against hope that it doesn't happen. They can't coexist in the same room and they don't agree to do this because do you, Adam, want to live in a world where America's team has a Super Bowl ring in this millennium? Because I, sir, do not.
No, I should say not.
Nor do I. I don't think America wants that. So for the good of the country, Belichick, if Jerry Jones comes calling, let it go to voicemail.
There you go.
It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. The Head and the Heart on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Let's get the rest of the NFL stuff out of the way real quick. Casey won the Snow Bowl, as everyone kind of expected they would. Let's be honest. You're playing in Arrowhead where it's like 30 degrees below zero, so not a shock there. Was a shock to, well, some people, not to you or I, of course, because we called this exact thing happening, the Texans knocking off the Cleveland Browns in the first season of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, saw that. Back real quick to this Kansas City game. Now, this is one that a lot of people were thinking it was just going to go away because it was on Peacock. Come to find out, Peacock paid the NFL $110 million to have that game exclusively on their streaming service.
Suckers.
20 million people tuned in. And so a lot of people are like, well, I'm just going to pay the $6 and then cancel. Well, they still got $6 off of you. 20 million people. this is wrong, people. I know it's a game, but you got to put your foot down somewhere. Don't watch these games if it's on a streaming service because you know what's going to happen? The Super Bowl eventually is going to be on Peacock or something of that nature.
Right. Do we really want this?
No.
No, nobody wants this.
No, you do not want this.
I know I don't. I'm glad it's, you know, someone else and not the Lions, quite frankly. I'm glad it happened to KC and not us.
Right. But still, 20 million. They said it was the highest viewed streaming event in history. That we don't want this.
Well, yeah. You know why it's the highest viewed? Well, A, because of the Swifties, and B, because what other good live events have been on streaming thus far? I mean, I've seen the slate of games they've picked out for the last couple seasons of Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. It ain't great.
No.
People aren't tuning into that, and most people have a Prime subscription because who doesn't like getting free shipping?
Right.
Like, you're paying $15 for that alone, and, ooh, I get football for free? Okay. Sounds good to me.
Well, you're getting something with it, though. Yeah, but this Peacock.
Because, like, there's nothing else on Peacock worth a damn, is there? I mean.
I have it, but that's basically because I like to watch old SNL shows.
Okay. Like there's nothing.
Oh, and the new show, Ted. I've been watching that. But yeah, I didn't watch it for football. I wasn't going to give them the ratings.
Right. Like, because I don't want to see this. Like, I have enough, like, I'm paying out enough for whatever services, and a lot of people are paying out the nose for cable.
Yes.
Like, I want to add more things you have to buy. To, like when baseball started doing this nonsense, mm-hmm. when they started moving regular season MLB, and the Tigers seemed to get hosed by that a lot. Like, oh, great, 11:30 start time for a game I can't watch. Lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks, jackasses. Yep. And then they added Apple TV on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, good Lord, I feel like I'm too young to be an old curmudgeon, but man, this is ridiculous. Like, I am not subscribing to 20 different services just to be able to watch all my team's games. Like, you get one. Like, okay, I have Prime Video because, like, 90% of people in America have Amazon Prime.
Right.
You get, like, I'll take ESPN Plus because, I mean, it's all of the hockey. All of the hockey.
Yep.
So, of course, I will absolutely, yeah, here, take my money, fine. But
now when it comes to the Summer Olympics coming up this summer, go think.
Crazy. Right? They have it in summer now?
No.
I thought they were having it in the fall.
Shut up. And then, you know, so the easy. Subsequent Winter Olympics, having a chance to watch different events, all, you know, different, I mean, at the same time, that would be worth it right there. Like, for like, if I could watch curling and certain hockey games.
You could watch all the stuff live instead of it being either tape delayed or bumped over to CNBC or whatever.
Yeah, and then only getting like a little bit, oh, before we cut off to, synchronized ice dancing or whatever.
But they always have time to tell you about every athlete's like tragic story of how they got here.
Yeah, every Olympic athlete has just had a SOL life.
Really, truly have. Like, they always seem to find time for all those packages, but to actually to watch the games? Oh, we can't have that now.
No.
Like, we can't put the events on.
But now you're for the Summer Olympics, you'd be able to put on the Olympic baseball and be able to check that out as opposed, because I mean the rest of this Summer Olympics is, you know, swimming, running, you know, javelin. The big heavy ball that they throw over there.
Right.
But, you know, with this, Olympics,
yeah, basketball is where it's at.
Yeah.
And you watch, that would be the thing that would get dumped over to Peacock.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah, keep giving them more and more of your money, folks. You're going to end up paying more for streaming services than you ever were for cable.
Oh, absolutely.
Warning you now. Like, you keep accepting this stuff, and that's what's going to happen. Or you could just go, you know, pirate it and say screw the whole effing system.
Sean, you're not suggesting that our listeners do things that are morally bankrupt, are you?
Adam, have you met me? I've done nothing but suggest that people do morally bankrupt things for the entire time I've been in this business. This shouldn't surprise you now.
Oh, the FCC, line one.
Oh, the FCC's...
Oh, them. Yeah, I remember them.
I don't have to deal with them until Friday. It's fine. Moral of the story, Peacock sucks. D'Amico Ryan's for Coach of the Year. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get the hell out of Dodge. I'm really just excited to go watch the rest of this Steelers-Bills game. This looks like it actually might be freaking decent. Stick around. An hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!